Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The reggaeton horn. When I'm in a bad mood, like, and I just play that sound, I'm automatically in a good mood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
Here's the thing about making it. They're solid gold. They've got the goods. They stand when they walk through the neighborhoods. Boom! David Naughton humor.
And now.
I'm not sure I follow, but I'll go ahead and accept that answer.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 11th of September.
Muggs, how'd your mom react to the Dodgers winning the division last night?
You know, it's the Orioles. They're terrible in their league and division. Whatever.
Irrelevant, though.
Dude, it's irrelevant.
Doesn't matter who you beat to win the division.
Honestly, I don't have to worry about her watching the Dodgers anymore and making me upset because every time the Dodger game is on now, she turns on, like, these house remodel shows all the time. So she doesn't even watch.
She's not even watching anymore.
No, she just turned it off.
That might be why they're winning.
Yeah.
She needs to keep not watching.
Yeah.
We need to keep remodeling homes. Yes.
Is she too tense, too nervous about it?
I think with everything that's happened these past 2 years for Dodger fans, which she is not, she's just given up. She's out.
She can't go through it again.
No.
She's trying to protect her heart from potentially losing another World Series.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny. I mean, she's in some of the last years of her life. I love my mom.
Wow.
She's not even that old.
Real dark.
She might die this year. I don't know, you guys.
She might not make it to the end of the season. Who knows?
And she's missing the best years of her team ever.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. That's true.
That just happened.
Oof. How old is your mom?
My mom is 76 years old.
Well, she is getting up there.
She does not like that in bed, I'll tell you that.
Oh, watch yourself.
What? My gosh.
What did you tell my mother?
You call him dad. You show him some respect, beer mug.
Sorry, dad.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
No!
Well, she was looking good at that wedding you went to, right?
That was Muggs' wedding, by the way.
I couldn't remember whose it was.
Do you remember the lead up to the wedding and how many times you told Muggs that you were going to bone his mother?
Just because then I could look at him in the morning and go, yep.
This is a sick place to work.
Yep.
And then you met her at the wedding and you thought, you know what? I think I really am.
Wow. She's pretty. She's a pretty, pretty woman.
Good looking lady.
And then it happened. So that's
happened,
all good, right?
Mm-hmm. Feeling uncomfortable.
Are you?
Let me tell your dad about it.
Let me tell you all about Brittany Thomas. She is a 17-year-old Australian cricket player. And she fractured her thumb during a game in April of last year that required a simple surgery. It's not uncommon, right, for an athlete to fracture a thumb, right?
No.
So she went to the she went in and she had it set, and she went home, and a few days later she had to go back to the hospital. She was just in excruciating pain, and they unwrapped it and they found out that they had accidentally left the elastic tourniquet on the thumb that they had put in place for the surgery. And they had forgotten to take it off, even though they have a checklist for things like that, and they checked off that they did. Well, her thumb was essentially dead or close to it.
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not good for you at all. So they took her, she went back to the hospital, and they said, you are probably going to lose your thumb, but we're going to do everything we can to try to get some life back into it.
So that is funny.
It's really not. First, they applied leeches to it to try to encourage the blood, which, by the way, is not gross at all.
It's gross to me. Sure, yeah, totally.
It's not gross. They do it all over the world, and they have for thousands of years.
You can't tell people if it's gross or not.
I'm telling you, it's common. It's very common, and there's nothing gross about it because it's effective and it doesn't hurt. It didn't work.
Okay.
So then they sewed her thumb to her groin in hopes of...
That seems bad.
Wait. Hold up.
It also seems convenient, Allie.
Wait a minute.
Now they're just joking with her.
Right?
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to just sew it to your ear. Why the groin? To grow more skin?
In hopes of restoring the thumb's blood flow and nerve response. Now, we've heard situations of this before where they've done that with people's ears or whatever. You know, they sew it to your arm. I mean, they look for a place that they can put it where they think it has the best chance of coming back to life. Well, so she's walking around with her hand basically sewn to her groin, which must have been an awkward conversation at school.
Hey, folks.
For how long?
Listen, I know we're on a date, but I need to tell you something right up front.
And the guy's like, I know. I'm looking at you.
Well, it didn't work. So they eventually had to amputate her thumb.
Wow.
And replaced it with her big toe.
Oh, that's actually common.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
So, yeah.
People walking around with just a toe as a thumb?
Yeah, well, and some people look like they have that, but that's just how their thumb looks.
The Megan
Fox
thing.
That's common.
Because you would rather have a toe as a thumb than not have a thumb at all.
Yeah.
That's why, yeah.
But does it work as a gripper?
People ask me, why does your thumb look so weird? And she's like, because it's not my thumb, it's my toe. Now, it has severely limited the use of her left hand, and her foot, of course, had to also be significantly altered in surgery. To replace her big toe...
Nope.
They took a piece of her hip and created a new bone for her foot.
Are they just building a new person?
All because someone made a mistake.
Yes.
Yeah, she's not paying for any of this.
I mean, I hope she owns the place.
I mean, basically, they left a rubber band on her thumb, and now they're having to do surgery. I mean, think about how many different places on her body now they've had to do a procedure, right?
Yeah.
But that's what she's stuck with. She's probably never going to be able to play cricket again, by the way. And she was one of those really, really good players who thought she had a chance of one day going pro. That's what she wanted. She said she can hardly hit a cricket ball now. She can't even grip the bat, she says. Her toe-turned-thumb cannot bend at the knuckle. So that's an awful, awful thing to have happen to a young woman, isn't it?
No kidding.
It's not great.
And it doesn't say, this isn't America, so there hasn't been talk of a lawsuit yet. This is Australia, but I'm certain at some point there'll be some sort of remuneration, right?
Oh, I would assume so.
I hope so.
And I would assume it'd be huge.
Yeah.
A great article in The Atlantic called "The Surgeons Who Make Toes into Thumbs. Doctors Look South to Replace the King of Digits." That's a thing. That's a thing, you guys.
Someone wrote that.
Yes.
By the way, wow. I am there for that headline.
I know you are.
The King of Digits.
King of Digits.
Let's add that to their King of Bedspreads, the King of Beepers.
The King of Beepers.
Do you think that someone listening to us right now has a toe for a digit?
I'd guarantee somebody does.
Ah, wow. Yeah. I don't know how often that happens.
Call now.
I don't think it's that often, but I don't think it's that out of the realm that someone listening now or listening via podcast later is like, I got a toe thumb.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deny. You
think anyone has a thumb vagina? You think that happens?
It was a groin.
A thumb. What?
It was a groin. It's a little different than a vagina.
I think we know what Kevin immediately thought about when he heard that.
Well, that's being put it in my head when he goes, it takes care of two birds with one stone.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering if anyone, I literally genuinely want to know, because I've never seen it.
I can't imagine.
No.
I haven't either. I've not even heard of it.
Yeah. Well, apparently, as Allie says, it is not uncommon. But I don't think it's what you hope for when you go to the hospital.
No.
I think that's your goal. Hey, when I come out, I hope I have a thumb instead of a toe.
Of my hip bone as a toe.
Yeah. She's a mess.
She's a mess indeed.
Can you put the thumb in my butt?
Don't play cricket.
Just grab that.
That's the takeaway.
Need that.
Yeah. All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
But he's got to have some fat hip-hop beats.
All right, you guys listen. You can't say you guys.
What?
You can't say, hey, you guys.
Why not?
How come? No longer acceptable.
How come?
Well, you're going to explain to us, B.
Oh, I am. Yeah. Oh, I am.
Yes.
Okay.
It was part of the tease.
All right, I will then.
Can't say you guys. Hey, guys. You guys.
Okay. I feel like it must be offensive to someone.
Of course.
I guess we'll find out. I'll be listening to that segment.
To you hosting that segment.
I'll hear it.
Okay. B makes his guess.
Yes.
On the show today.
our favorite author, Brad Meltzer.
Love
He's
him.
The best.
Back on the show today. He's got two books to talk about. Very excited
well,
about that.
As we often point out, he writes books faster than we can read them.
Yeah. And Dave Navarro and Billy Morrison will join us in studio.
Whoa, that's a lot of rock and roll power right there.
Yes, it is. They have a charity concert called Above Ground they're going to tell us about. And we're going to talk to them about that. Very excited about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I have a question for you, Allie.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, Bean, there's a lot happening. And I feel like this might be too early to start this crap.
Uh-oh.
It's only week two of the NFL. Are we already doing this? The rumors about who's playing the halftime show. I mean, come on. It's in February.
Yeah.
It's week two.
And this gives me a much longer amount of time to
you
be sad.
You know it's not going to be Weird yes. Al.
We can, I think we can just mourn safely that, say right now.
Mourn that and move on.
But I'm telling you, if they make the announcement later in the season, then I can at least keep hope alive.
No.
Until
okay.
My dreams are crushed.
Hope hurts.
But if they announce it now, then I've got nothing to look forward
they're
to.
They're not announcing it now. These will be rumors up until, you know, January or
but
whenever
it is. This rumor sounds pretty legit.
Does it?
It does. I think so.
Should I tell people what it is?
Yeah.
I mean,
all right.
I assume that's what you were leading up to.
J-Lo is in talks to headline the halftime show at Super Bowl 54. Fans have been campaigning for the superstar to take the NFL stage for years, and the February 2020 championship game in Miami would be an ideal place to do it. She has ties to the city. Her and her fiancé, Alex Rodriguez, he grew up there. They vacation there all the time. Meanwhile, Jay-Z, who partnered with the Football League in August, will consult on the halftime show, and he played coy about rumors that Lopez is in the running. He said, sometimes it may happen, and it may wind up that the person is from the city that they perform in. Well, she's from the block.
Yeah,
right.
She's not from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He's also not saying. He's being very vague.
He's playing coy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, look,
I love you, Poppy.
It's no Weird Al. But that's not, I mean, that fits. That's a reasonable choice,
okay.
I think.
Sure.
Don't you? I mean, and Jennifer Lopez's profile is going to be higher, if that's possible, than it's ever been because of this this Hustlers movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
very true.
Yeah, it seems like a good fit for the city. Why not?
And we need food at halftime, right?
Wow.
We need some time for food.
Kevin is already making other
plans. Is everybody
plans.
Finished taking their nap?
She's a great performer.
Sure. She's an absolute performer.
Yeah.
For sure. You're not going to be like, ooh, got to hear what note she hits. No, you're watching her dance. You're seeing the whole show. Good times.
I mean,
guys.
I barely know any of her songs. You know what I mean? She does not have hits that stick in your mind.
True.
With the exception of, you know.
Jenny from the Block.
Jenny from the Block, On the Floor, maybe a couple of them. But in general.
It's one
just,
more than I had.
It's going to be a medley of songs I vaguely recognize.
Maybe it'll be Motown.
She'll do a Gloria Stefan song too, or something like that.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, I would assume Miami Sound Machine would come out.
I think that would be like their third Super Bowl.
It would be.
Yeah. Gloria Stefan.
I'd like to say that's too many for them.
Yeah.
You really don't like.
I dislike them greatly.
Wow. Yeah.
The Sound Machine and Gloria, or just the Sound Machine?
I can't tell the difference. They make the same music.
I appreciate the Gloria Stefan, so.
So what about the Sound Machine?
They're all racist.
Okay. Weird. Wow.
Kevin, don't you ever get the urge to come on and shake your body, baby, and do the conga?
Why does Kevin hate
Sound Machine?
No, I don't.
Never?
No. For the most part, I hate songs that count, too. I don't like 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't need that nonsense.
I hate songs that count.
For the most part.
That's a whole
for
genre.
For the most part, I do.
So weird. I'm trying to think of other songs. The U2 song, it's like, uno, dos, tres,
now,
catorce.
This is the beginning, though.
Oh,
this is in the lyrics.
Mambo Number 5 you hate?
Not a big fan.
Okay.
Rock Around the Clock.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
I saw her standing there.
I saw her standing there.
Tiffany song?
I think we're alone now. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, the Beatles Tiff song.
Beatles.
I saw her standing there.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
What other songs have numbers?
3, 4.
I don't know. I just hate them. Every time they come, I don't know. I'll do some research.
Oh, my gosh. 1, 1, 1, because he left. And 2, 2, 2 from...
Violent Femmes?
Violent Femmes.
It's a rough one for me.
Really?
He hates counting.
I do.
I forgot what it was for.
Yeah. That was funny. But I have to go through one, two, and three, and all those before I get there.
So oh my gosh, you guys!
How about the 12 days of Christmas?
Oh, yeah, good one.
Hate.
Did nobody notice we were talking about the number 8? And he goes, "I have to get through 1, 2, 3, and the rest of those." Can you not count? Is that what this is?
That's
Kevin?
The problem. Is it reminds me? that I'm unable to count
and the rest of those,
whatever they are.
Kevin can only learn the first half of those songs.
Oh my god, I love it so much.
So you must have been traumatic for you to watch Sesame Street as a kid, when every time the count would come on, right?
Yeah, but it was the count.
He was cool.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
He was all right. Okay.
Wow, this
Kevin, god damn it.
This was unexpected.
Yeah, we're going to dig deeper into this at another time.
I have enjoyed this. What's happening? Some birthdays for you. Moby, Harry Connick Jr., Taraji P. Henson, and Ludacris.
Give me Luda.
Thank you, Kevin. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Hey, 1 week from this morning, by the way, Wednesday, September 18th at the Hollywood Park Casino, our man Beer Mug is going to be down there. It's the Rambo Last Blood Drive. We call it Rambo Give Blood. See what we did there? The movie is in theaters on September the 20th. The movie is in theaters.
Makes sense now.
Should have heard the other options we gave him.
On September 20th, and we are encouraging you to stop by the Hollywood Park Casino and do your bit. Beer Mug, you're going to have tons of great prizes to give away, including Knott's Scary Farm tickets and lots of concert tickets and more. You can get all the details at KROQ.com, but we would appreciate it very much if you would save some lives by donating blood 1 week from this morning at the Hollywood Park Casino.
By the way, he would never say this about himself, but Bean gives blood so often that sometimes they go, it hasn't been a month yet.
Wow.
Yeah, 56 days you have to wait.
Or whatever.
Although I will tell you that I am devastated that I have to wait. In the state of Louisiana, they won't let you give blood within a year of getting a tattoo.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
So I have been sitting out right now.
The queen hates you giving blood.
Mm-hmm. It pains me. Yeah. I saw this piece on a Twitter account that I follow called Now This, which is news. You guys probably look at it as well.
That's the one where I found the thing about the toilet seat and the toilet paper. Same place.
Way too excited to share that.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
When we said it doesn't help to put toilet paper on the toilet seat, then we asked Dr. Drew about this.
Yes.
Same place. So I'm saying, let's take it with a grain of salt.
Okay. Well, this is just one woman's opinion, but she seems to be speaking for others when she says that the colloquial greeting of, hey guys, or hi guys, is something that should be phased out because not everybody in the audience is guys.
Doesn't that just mean a group, though, at this point?
Well, that's what we would argue, is that it has become a word whose meaning has changed throughout the years, and now it just means, hey, people in the room.
Yeah.
But what she's pointing out is you are marginalizing people in the room who are not guys, also known as women, that it's unfair to women to lump them in together. You're not even acknowledging their existence. You're, in fact, excluding them by saying, hey, guys.
But let me just... Before you play the audio, let me just bring this up. Allie, when we say hey guys in an email, you're included. We know you're female.
I write hey guys.
You do? Okay.
I'd say hey guys to my female friends at lunch. Hey guys.
It's more, it's not a literal saying
right.
anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
And what are we supposed to say? Hey friends. Not everyone's a friend.
Right.
Let's find out.
Guys is a simple term. It could mean boys, or if you're modern, hip, it means people. At first glance, guys seems inviting, friendly, maybe warm, even comedic at times. But it, like many male default terms, should not be normalized as an all-encompassing phrase, innocent as it may seem. While we may understand the word means no real harm, with a deeper look, you'll understand that we've been ignoring the cognitive impact on women as well as gender non-conforming folks by only explicitly addressing the male-identifying individuals present.
Okay, so what she's saying, translating here, is she's saying, it doesn't really seem offensive at all, but if you really think about it, isn't there some way we can make it seem offensive?
Is this political correctness gone wrong, or is this accurate?
This is stupid.
I mean, a lot of guys saying this is stupid.
Right? And they're all white.
Yep.
You just made it worse, Kevin.
All right, more, please.
Of course we claim it's colloquial, but with our elevated knowledge and inclusive perspective, it just seems lazy, inconsiderate, and a small part of what reinforces the gender hierarchy today.
So, again, translating, she's saying, because we're so woke now here in 2019, we should know better. We should be examining these things.
That's right.
A lot of teens are dropping their verbs.
Thank you, Slagman. And by the way, we also just say he a lot of times when it could. We don't know the sex of the person. It's just the default.
Because usually it's something bad, and most of the time it's a guy.
No, the default. The default is he. You know, what should the president do if he is impeached? You know, and people would go, "Well the president
he's
could."
A man.
No, I'm not saying this specific one. I'm just saying that as an example. If you're just talking
it's
about
a bad
constitutional,
because they've all been men.
Okay, all right.
Because of internalized misogyny, like saying, "Hey guys,
hey guys."
Wait, but if I said, "Hey men," in an email, "Hey men."
Just as bad.
That's terrible.
Well, that's
no,
different.
No, I feel like that's different, too. That's a separate thing.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we should be making these two things have the same definition.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you, but bad lady does not.
Okay.
How is one to feel empowered to speak or assert themselves when upon greeting they're misgendered or even ignored in language? Can we be surprised that for decades women often felt uncomfortable asserting their voice when we didn't even take the time to properly acknowledge them?
By the way, if there is in fact one woman listening who agrees with this person that they feel slighted by "Hey guys," I'd love to hear from you. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067.
I'd like to say this as far as that last statement. Guys didn't appreciate women's abilities for a long, long time. And it had nothing to do with saying "Hey guys." It was just, I'm a guy, so I'm better. That's a male thing.
But she's saying that, I mean, not to play devil's advocate for something I think is dumb, but she's saying that because we've used even the slightest innocent term like "Hey guys," that's what has helped create that
helped us
culture.
Get to, okay.
Yes. But also,
I'm going to put on my jams.
Let's also remember that the person telling us about this is a woman too. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure that's the point.
Hey guys, listen.
Actually,
I'm not offended per se if someone lumps me in with the guys. I'm sure there's really no malintent. In fact, if you and your friends want to freely address each other, by all means. I just want you to know that you're one small step away from making a more conscious effort to dismantle the patriarchy.
We gotta dismantle the patriarchy, you guys. She's not wrong.
I didn't say you guys.
That's actually
correct.
Dude,
you said
you guys.
Yeah, I did say you guys.
It's
right.
Weird how much malintent sounds like male intent, though. Never noticed that until this story.
All right, I think she has some suggestions, if I know where we are on the tape, on what we should be saying instead of "Hey guys."
So what can you do? Substitute one "Hey guys" with a simple "Good morning, everyone. Hi, y'all. Folks."
I'm not saying y'all. I'm not saying y'all.
I need "Hey y'all" and "Hey folks."
I'm not saying folks or y'all. I'm not saying either of those.
Need it.
I will say "Hey guys" and "girls" first before
I
say.
Can I give a suggestion?
Yeah.
"Hey folks."
Everybody, scholars, team if you're at work, campers if you're in the forest.
All right, I'm going to start using campers.
Campers
I'm
always if you're in the forest.
Hey campers. How do you feel about "Hey team," by the way?
Fine.
But okay. I think that will come out organically, just like "Hey guys" comes out. It's the same definition for me.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like it's a slight for real.
Yeah.
This seems like one of those one person thinks this way. If I'm wrong, I could be wrong.
But I know. This totally went ghost on me.
I mean, I agree with Jensen, though, that she is trying to make a bigger point, which is, have we ever even thought about it? Maybe the conclusion is that there's nothing wrong with "Hey guys," but she's saying, isn't it at least worth thinking about whether that's cool or not? You know what I mean? I mean, there's nothing wrong with re-examining the terms that we use, I think is what she's saying. And the conclusion may be that we're fine, that there's no reason to change. All right, almost done.
"Bay Hive," because it's always appropriate. You can also
That's a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke.
Yes. She was saying, you know, like, "Hey campers, hey folks, Bay Hive."
Yeah, meaning Beyonce. But that's a joke. Let her get away with the joke.
All right.
Not a good
Bay
one.
"Bay Hive,"
because
it's always appropriate.
Well, women aren't funny, too, by the way. Let's keep that.
Jesus, Fiend.
You can also just find ways to insert people's names and address everyone present. And when in doubt, say nothing at all. Hey.
All right, there you go. So, hey.
Just "Hey"?
Just "Hey."
I like "Hey, y'all." That's my favorite.
That's what you're going with?
Mm-hmm.
All right, shall we take a call real quick?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, who do we have here?
I'd say line 3.
Let's do line 3. Let's talk to Tamra. She's in Sunland. She's up on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hi there.
Tamra.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How are you?
Oh, guys, excuse me.
Don't say
guys.
So offensive.
Because Allie's here. She could be offended.
Oh, I'm hurt. What say you about this discussion?
Well, as a 52-year-old woman, I have grown up saying "Hey, guys." But in the last year or two, I do find myself thinking twice about it when I send out emails at work, especially because I work with mostly women. So it really does strike me as not appropriate. So I do try and say, hey, everyone, or just hey, like the reporter just said.
You ever go, hey, y'all? You ever go that way? Hey, y'all?
I don't, but if I was from Friday Night Lights, Tammy Taylor, I would say, hey, all
great
the
reference.
Time.
Good reference. I do understand being aware of it, and I think that if you change it out, good for you. And I don't think that's the bad thing. I think the bad thing is condemning anyone who's doing it because obviously.
No, but I think you were right, Jensen, when you said that it is one of those things that over time, with when you add it to all the other misogynistic things that happen in our society, it does leave women feeling left out. So in and of itself, it's a very small thing that isn't a huge deal, but with all the other things combined, it just adds to that feeling of being left out as a woman.
I mean, she's the woman here. I mean,
I think that is well said, Tamara. Yeah. We appreciate you listening. I know we're late, but please, let's talk to Erica real quick. Line 5, she's in North Hollywood. We'll try to make it fast. Erica, thank you so much for calling. You think what?
Okay. I think that you should not use guys at all. Because if I say to you, hey, girls, does that include you?
If you're talking to us,
depends on what I'm wearing.
I mean, so you're flipping it and saying, how would men feel if everybody, if we were always referred to as, hey, girls? I will say that doesn't have the same history, though. It hasn't been used for decades to become a colloquialism. Hey, girls is kind of still literal, I think.
But hey, guys isn't. That's the thing is, hey, guys, you don't think I'm talking to all male people when you say hey, guys.
But she's saying the idea that it's a all-encompassing term when it doesn't include girls or women is the problem.
But you're not excluding girls by saying it. You're just not.
What if you're saying, instead of saying guys, girls, whatever, I just walk in a room, men, women in there, and I go, what up, my bitches?
I love it.
I think that works.
Can we agree on that?
Can we agree on my bitches?
That's it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
I just don't see how
noted
how penis slapping has anything to do with Bean Makes Us Guess. I don't know why that's in the intro at all. We have been real lucky this last couple of weeks to have some of the great stand-up comedians in the studio with us. Bill Burr was just in with us this week. We had Anthony Jeselnik in last week. And we were talking with both of them, among other topics, about their favorite stand-up comedians. And that's why I thought this list from Ranker.com was so interesting. They have almost a million votes on this topic.
Wow.
The greatest stand-up comedians of all time. Now, I know a ton of names are going to rush to your head because there are some real obvious ones that would be on anybody's list. If you love comedy, there are some comedians you certainly love. So we're going to spread it outside the top 10 this time.
Oh, all right.
Give you a point for top 20. So it's going to be a high-scoring game. But let's find out who is going to win. Kevin, as we always do, you are at the head of the table. What's your first guess, please?
Kramer.
Oh, yeah.
Seinfeld, that dude. That dude, he got in trouble with the guy he was yelling at.
Yeah, that one chunk he did at the Laugh Factory.
Remember?
Or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, technically, Michael Richards, the actor who plays Kramer, is a stand-up comedian, but I'm sorry, not considered among the greatest of all
probably
time.
Probably 21st.
No. Beer Mug.
George Mother Effin Carlin.
Yay!
I mean, sure, number one.
Oh, only number sure, one.
Only number one. Allie is about to give us what I suspect her guess is going to be number two.
Richard Pryor.
Number two,
yeah,
ladies and
gentlemen. Yeah, Mug. Here comes the number three answer from Kevin.
I get it.
Number three is Armenian comedian.
Oh, jeez.
You know what? Surprisingly, he did not make the list.
You need to go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you, you stupid heads.
How did he not make the list?
That's my point.
All right, Muggs, I'm going to be disappointed if either you or Allie miss any on this list in the first few rounds here.
He's been coming up a lot lately in stories because of his comeback, possibly, but Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy is number five on the list of the greatest stand-ups of all time. Well done. 2 points for Muggs. Allie?
Jerry Seinfeld?
Jerry Seinfeld is number eight. Well done. 2-2. Kevin?
Paul Blart.
not even a comedian.
I think he is, technically.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Muggsy.
Remember in that movie, though, when he slid and he came up short a little bit?
In the glass.
In the glass?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And this is... How far does this go back, Bean?
It's of all time.
Of all time. Okay. Sam Kinison, question mark.
Sam Kinison, question mark. No.
Really?
Have we already forgotten Sam Kinison, by the way?
Legend.
He was a legend. I think I would put him on my list, the top 20, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Allie, your chance to take the lead.
It's weird, but do people consider him a stand-up? Because he did stand-up.
We're going to need a name.
Okay. You know what? Mel Brooks is much further down on the list. I remember him being just outside the top 25.
Okay.
But yes, not top 20. Kevin.
Roseanne Mother effing Barr.
That's a great guess.
Thank you.
Not on the list. I'm sorry. Again, this is almost a million votes at Ranker.com,
well,
the greatest stand-up comedians of all time. All right, we still got a tie game. You're up next, Muggs.
Can you do that for a brother?
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock is number
four. We also have to do the impression now.
Wow.
Chris Rock is number four. So you guys have gotten 1, 2, 4, and 5. Well done. Allie, you're going to have to get this one to stay tied.
Dave Chappelle.
Yes, there you go. Number three. Dave Chappelle is number three. You guys agree with that, by the way? Should he be that high, or is that just a factor of him being hot now?
Yeah, he's not on my top five, but
I think he would be on mine, but it's probably a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Kevin.
Wee Man.
Oh.
Because remember he played our Foolishness like three times.
That's not Brad Williams.
Brad Williams. What?
Very different.
Muggsy.
He was in Game of Thrones.
No, not the same guy. That was Peter Dinklage, Allie.
Oh, all time. Let's go. Oh, my God. All time. Oh, my God.
Stop saying those words.
Oh, my God. Bill Burr.
Bill Burr is... hold on.
He better be in the top 20. That's ridiculous.
He is number nine.
Oh, there you go. Yes!
He is number nine. Well done.
Muggs takes this very seriously.
He does.
On fire!
Allie.
Gone but not forgotten, and one of the founders of Comic Relief. Let's go Robin Williams.
Let's go number six on the list is Robin Williams.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Final round. Oh, Kevin, crap. Your last guess, please.
Donald Trump. Argue that one, bitch. Come on!
It's a different kind of hilarious. Hey, are we at a are we tied between
we are.
Oh,
we are.
Okay. All right, Muggs, this is your chance to take the lead briefly.
I can't get no respect. Rodney Dangerfield.
Number 11.
Yeah.
Great impression as well.
All right. Well done. Allie, are we going to end in a tie or is Beer Mug winning?
I'm going to tell you right now, if this man is not on here, throw out this list and go F yourself. Mr. Don Rickles.
Number 13 on the list. Yes, he certainly is. All right. Tie game. Here's your top 20, the greatest stand-up comedians of all time via Ranker.com. Number 20, Jim Carrey. Number 19, Red Fox. Number 18, Kevin Hart, which I'm surprised nobody came up with, by the way. Number 17, Louis Black. Number 16, Jim Gaffigan.
Oh,
Jim Gaffigan.
Then Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wright.
Then Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
Don Rickles. Mitch Hedberg was at number 12.
Mitch, of course.
Then Rodney Dangerfield. Number 10.
William Hung.
He would be in my top 10 also. Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
Then Bill Burr, Jerry Seinfeld, and I think the only one that you guys didn't come up with in the top 10 for understandable reasons, Louis C.K. is at number seven. Then Robin Williams, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Richard Pryor, and George Carlin. It's another tie. Well done, Beer Mug. Well done, Allie. Sorry, Kevin. This has been Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
I think we're all driven to win because we play in LA and because we wear a Dodger uniform.
We got the right guys every single day to go out there and prove that we're the best team in the National League.
The most important thing for this ball club, this organization, is winning in 2019.
An explosion opening day for the Dodgers. He leaps and makes the catch. Is there anything Bellinger can't do? Complete game shutout of the Atlanta Braves. 16 Ks from Buehler. Muncy with a splash hit. A seventh consecutive division title for the Dodgers.
I mean, if that's what you're looking for.
You know, I shouldn't say this because you guys are going to accuse me of pooping on the seven in a row. The Braves won 14 divisional titles in a row at one point.
Okay.
Calm down, Mama Mugs.
Wow. Way to take the air out of the studio, man.
No, but I'm just saying, it's just shocking, though. It's just shocking to think about what your division, even seven times in a row, is a remarkable run, isn't it?
I mean, it would be a better run if we won the World Series.
I will say this. This is the second earliest date any team has clinched the NL West title behind the 1975 Reds, who clinched on September 7th. And guess what they went on to do that year?
Losing the World Series?
Won the World Series, bitch! All right, there's a little stat for you, bitches.
I love it. I'm very excited by that. And I'm also very excited by one of our all-time favorite guests back on the phone. He is a number one New York Times bestselling author. Brad Meltzer joins us with a couple of new books. Hey, Brad, how are you, buddy?
I am good. I'm happy for you guys because I will tell you that we have a friend's bat mitzvah to come to, and my son, who could care less about going to this event or going to see our friends or being a good person, has focused on the fact that the first round in the Dodgers playoffs will be when we're there. And he's like, screw them all, we're going to the game.
And by the way, your son is right.
He's smart.
He's doing the right thing.
You've raised him well.
Yes, I know. That's all he cares about. He's like, we should just leave early and we're going to the game. And he's making his pitch.
Would you ever consider that, Brad?
Oh, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. I mean,
so you're just going to dip.
The truth is, it actually ends on the way the timing works. We could miss the national anthem, but I bet we'll make the first inning.
All right. Fantastic. Well, you'll be one of the first people there then. So congratulations. All right, Brad, we're super psyched to have you back on. Your series of books. Well, I'll let you give us the elevator pitch for folks who haven't heard us talk to you about these wonderful children's books that you do.
Yeah, you know, I started this series because I was tired of my kids looking at people who are famous for being famous. And I wanted to give them better heroes to look up to. Heroes of character, heroes of kindness, of compassion, of perseverance. And we started, as you know, thanks to you guys, with I'm Amelia Earhart and I'm Abraham Lincoln. We did a whole line of children's books. I'm Rosa Parks and Albert Einstein. And we did Jack Robinson for my son who loves baseball so much. And we did Lucille Ball and Billie Jean King. And today we finally released our two of our biggest requests, the number one request we've ever had for any hero. We released I Am Walt Disney. And with that, I Am Mercury. So we finally get to approach Disneyland and Disney World.
That is interesting. And I know you've been a lifelong Disney fan yourself. Walt Disney, is there a lot that we don't know about him?
Well, that, you know, the thing about Walt Disney, he's one of the great American success stories. And we think that everything is happily ever after in the Disney planet. And of course, you know, we got the Magic Kingdom. But what I love about his story is how hard it was. When Walt Disney is a little boy, his father doesn't even care and is not excited by the fact his son can draw so well. It's his aunt who says, keep drawing, and buys him things to pads to draw on. And as Walt gets older,
Walt's a fraud.
Right? I mean, right? It's unbelievable. But what I love, though, is as he gets older, he starts his first film company. He's 21 years old. It's a total disaster. It's not easy. In fact, he goes. They say you're going to have to declare bankruptcy. He's sleeping in his office. He's taking a bath once a week in the train station, which is never good for anybody.
No.
But I want my right. I want my kids to know, though, that when you chase a big dream, you may fail, but when you get back up again, that's how you fly.
Whoa.
Brad Meltzer, you're such a delight.
I don't know how to follow that with anything.
No. I seriously.
No, but that's the thing, though, is we need to teach our kids that, right? Like Walt Disney, one of my favorite stories that I didn't know, is he comes up with this idea for a cartoon mouse. He's like, I got it. We're going to call him Mortimer Mouse. And they're like, his wife says, Mortimer, that's a horrible name. That's really what she says, a horrible name. She says, why don't you name him? I got an idea. Why don't you name him Mickey? And that's how the world gets Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
And it's not,
he's
it's not,
a fraud.
It's not, some, right. It's not some overnight success, though, right? It's like what he does is the first Mickey cartoon doesn't even sell. But Walt Disney, you know, these books are not about history. They're illustrated kids' books, but they're about values.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about character. And I want my kids to know Disney's superpower is that whatever this guy just will never give up on his dream. He will chase it and chase it and chase it. And I want my kids to know that at every level.
There is a lot of talk. I'm sorry, go ahead.
If I'm being honest, if we called him Morty, that's kind of cute.
Morty Mouse?
Well,
Morty
I don't think Mouse. That's the. I don't think we're going
oh,
back
that's
to trying.
Not try the takeaway?
No.
Okay, sorry. Go on.
Allie trying to take all the credit away from a woman again.
Brad, what does drive me crazy a lot of times is people who win Oscars, people who win Grammys, they say, believe in your dream, blah, blah, blah. But there's not a lot of talk about you're going to get knocked on your ass many, many times. And that is important to know because you are.
No, and listen, I firmly believe that my kids, all of our kids, learn more by falling off the bike than being on it. That's what you
Absolutely.
Learn.
Absolutely.
I pushed my kids off the bike, Brad.
You thankfully
right,
don't
well,
have
naturally,
kids.
Of course you did.
But I just wanted to learn.
The thing that we have to realize, of course, is, you know, we want to wrap our kids in bubble wrap. We want nothing bad to happen to them. And of course, we don't want anything bad to happen to them. But if all you do is teach them about the good side, they never find the muscles to get them through the hard. And it's the same, you know, I just think, you know, we have a tradition in my house once a year. We do it every year. And I live in Florida, and what we do is on the way to school in carpool, since my kids are little, instead of going to school, one day a year, we drive past the school. They don't know what day it's going to be, and we drive straight to Disney World.
Oh,
nice. And the reason we do it
is to bribe them.
I want my kids to know that every day you can have magic in your life. And that's what Walt Disney stands for me. It's not about the merchandise nor the theme parks. It's about the idea that, you know, when I was 5 years old, guys like Jim Henson and Mr. Rogers and Walt Disney taught me you could use your creativity to put good into this world. And our I Am series, the Ordinary People Change the World series, that's all we're trying to do is we're trying to use our own creativity today to put some good into this world.
Brad driving to school every day and then like lightly tapping the brake.
Right.
The kids are like, oh man, not today.
Not today.
So my kids though are hard. They're literally like, today's the day. They're excited every day. And finally they're, you know.
So they're disappointed they're 364 days out of the year.
That's right, exactly the takeaway.
It's literally the opposite of my life where for the first 6 years, my parents told me Disneyland had closed.
Oh, Shinsen.
Hey Brad, I don't want to give the short shrift. Unfortunately, we're going to be out of time here in a minute. I don't want to give the short shrift to your other book today. I am Marie Curie because I love her so much. And as you know from the research, you know, she won 2 Nobel Prizes in different disciplines. She's one of the most significant scientists of all time. And I bet that is going to resonate a lot with the young women, you know, the young women of STEM of the future, I imagine, when they see this book, right?
And her, you know, Marie Curie has denied her whole life what she wants is to be a scientist. And why? Because she's a woman. And what I love is she never lets it stop her. I want my daughter to have that lesson. I want my sons to have that lesson. That's what my Marie Curie is about.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal story. And spoiler alert, she dies of radiation poisoning. So.
Wait, can I just tell you one thing? Wait, Let me just tell you that last night at the book event, I said, did anyone know who Marie Curie is? The little girl in the front row raises her hand. And I said, who is she? She says, oh, she won the Nobel Prize. And she studied. She gave us the word radioactivity. And then because of her discoveries, her husband died because of them. And I was like, yes, Yes, dear. That is exactly what love will get you. It will murder your husband.
All right. Both books are available wherever you get your books, at all retailers and online. I Am Walt Disney and I Am Marie Curie, which are the latest in the wonderful series that should be in every listener's homes, by the way, if you've got kids. They are tremendous.
Even if you don't have kids. I learn a lot about stuff by reading his books.
I'm going to tell you, the I Am Jim Henson sits on my coffee table, and people that come over pick up that book and they're like, this is so cool. Yep. I'm like, I have no kids.
Kevin Bean, Book Club Wednesday. Brad, we love you, and thank you so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon. And when you come out for the playoffs, please come in and see us.
If I come in Friday, I'm going to come do that. I love you guys.
Okay, man. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
So, Allie's, what's happening here on Wednesday morning on K-Rock?
Well, now's that time of year where different amusement parks start doing their competitions to win free stuff type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking Six Flags Great America's Maryland location. They want six brave couples to do something that some might find a little bizarre. They're inviting couples to spend 30 hours confined in a partially closed coffin with each other.
Mm.
This is for their new Fright Fest 2019. The couples can be lovers, friends, siblings, cousins, just two people. You're going to be in the coffin together from 3 p.m. on September 27th to 10 p.m. on September 28th.
How many hours is that?
It's 3 p.m. until 10 p.m. the following day.
So 30.
24 plus 7. 31.
Well, 31 hours. Okay.
Woo! Allie!
Thank you!
Isn't that creepy?
I just got math right. Here's the thing.
I can't imagine that.
You're going to be exposed to fog, dramatic lighting, flash photography, extreme weather conditions, and Fright Fest ghouls lurking around in the darkness. You're not going to be sleeping much. Here are the rules. No smartphones, watches, earbuds, headphones.
That's bogus.
Yeah, so if you were thinking, oh, I'll just listen to music or I'll just watch a TV show, no. You got to be looking at the ghouls.
You have to bring a record player in.
You know
that's
what?
It's not been banned.
It does not say that.
You could only listen to Monster Mash for the entire time.
Oh, my God. I give up now. If anyone breaks the rules, you're disqualified. There will be bathroom and meal breaks. This sounds just ridiculous. It's basically you get to just lay down and take a nice snooze.
With your sister, too, by the way.
It could be your sister or cousin.
It could be either.
Could be. The last remaining couple will split $600.
No!
But they'll get two 2020 gold season passes to the park and a Fright Night Fest package. But I laughed so hard when I said the remaining couple will split $600. What?
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the stuff is cool.
The rest of it's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Okay. Did you guys in your radio career, Kevin or Bean, ever do like a hands on a hard body?
We did a Live in It to Win It, where we put four people inside a brand new VW Beetle and had see who could stay in there the longest.
For a week.
Yeah, for a week.
Unreal.
And there were four?
And they all stayed.
They all stayed except for Big Tad, who had to leave for health reasons.
Yes. Yes, his legs started to swell up too much.
So then we went to K-Rock.
Oh, no.
We went to K-Rock back in the day when K-Rock had money. And we said, hey.
Give them the cards.
We should give all four of them. And they did.
Whoa.
All four of them won cards.
That's
very
nice.
Different time. Very different.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's what was cool about it, Jensen, is because we called it off after a week and we said, okay, this is insane. But what we're going to do is rock, paper, scissors for the winner. So when we showed up that day, that's what they thought in the
so
car
cool.
is that we were going to do rock, paper, scissors and only one of them could win.
Mm-hmm. After then, a week, how bad would you be?
And then all four of them got a car. It was wonderful.
Well, except for Big Tad.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no,
we just put him in there.
He got circulation issues.
to make the real contestants miserable.
Big Tad's the only loser.
By the way, I think we also put the Armenian comedian in there for a little bit. We're torturing them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And we were playing horrible music as loud as we could. Like, we were really torturing them.
Oh.
It's great.
And they did well.
Wow.
And they all got a car.
All right. Good stuff. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this yet untitled Lakers project that they have going. It's going to be
The Lakers?
It's HBO.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to be talking about who was just signed on to play Jerry Buss.
Oh, all right.
Some good stuff is what I'm saying. You all right, Pups? You okay back there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. Harry Connick Jr., happy birthday. Happy birthday to Moby, Taraji P. Henson, and Ludacris.
What?
That's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K
K-Rock.
I would be really, really angry if I bought the iPhone 10
last week.
Say last week?
Over the weekend, right?
Here's the problem. Even if you're like, I can't spend the money on the 11, you know, like, I get that because it's very expensive.
Right.
But also, the 10 goes down in price the day the 11 comes out.
True.
So that's also an issue, just the pricing.
But, so you paid what the 11 is coming out at.
Yeah.
Mugs. Okay.
Oh, Mugs.
Mugs paid for the 10 last week what the 11 will be when it comes out, and more money than the 10 will be in a week.
That's right. Yeah. So excellent. It's a win. It's a win-win. Is how I read it.
For Apple. Yes.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Damn it.
Guys, when these Apple announcements happen, there's a lot of stuff that makes headlines, and then there's some other stuff that maybe you don't hear about because there's a lot. There's a lot of information up on that stage. And that's why our friend Ashley Escada is always standing by to fill us in on what we missed. Ashley, welcome back. How are you?
I am good. How is everybody?
We are great.
Mugs isn't great. Mugs is not great.
Except for beer mug. Yeah, except for beer mug.
I'm very much
enjoying. You better dig up that receipt. You better dig it up.
I'm very much enjoying your Instagram stories on your little baby. It's been adorable. It's been fun watching.
He's a delight. He's about 98% cheeks.
He's got some good cheeks.
It does. Well, congratulations. You have a beautiful family. So I know that technically you're on maternity leave, but I know that you also can't stop yourself by seeing what's going on when there's a big announcement like Tim Cook had yesterday. What was your first takeaway from the Apple special event?
After it was over, I asked my baby what he thought, and he just let out a big poop noise. So I assume that's kind of how I felt.
So
about
that's
it.
Your review, like, as well.
Yeah,
not impressed.
Like, it was fine. I mean, it was very iterative. Again, like, and I think we're sort of hearing that like the big kind of iPhone redesign is sort of slated for 2020. But yeah, I mean, they really just focused. I mean, for iPhones especially, they focused on it's all cameras. We put some cameras in your cameras. You can camera while you camera. And they pulled an exhibit on us. They might as well have just dragged exhibit outfits to have done that whole segment. It's pretty iterative. And I think
I don't
Apple
know that word. I'm
is,
sorry. I don't know what iterative is.
It's sort of, it's a riff on what came before.
Oh, I see.
So, Beer Mug may feel a little screwed by buying iPhone 10, but honestly, there's not a ton that he's missing out on. I mean, these new phones don't have 5G. They still have a Lightning port instead of a USB-C port. There's a lot of things that they don't have. So,
but Ashley, I could take slow fees.
You know,
what is a slow fee?
I want Allie to be taking nothing but slow fees on her Instagram stories.
It's
her hair.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
What is it? Explain it.
It's a slow selfie.
That's
it.
That's exactly what it says. Okay.
A slow motion selfie. Yes.
So dumb. Why do we need that?
So it'll be like a Beyonce kind of wiping her hair back or
like
something.
Like the fan going. Yeah.
Get your hair fans out, everybody, because
I'm doing that first thing.
Ashley, forgive me for asking this potentially dumb question, but I get the excitement years ago of a camera on the front and a camera on the back because it gives you more options. What's the deal with a triple camera system? Like, what's the third camera for?
So this new system that there are three cameras on the back of the iPhone 11 Pro and the iPhone 11 Pro Max. So these are the two higher-end flagship models. The 11, which is the baseline, will only have two lenses. And on the iPhone 11, which is the baseline model, that will be two lenses, one of them being an ultra-wide lens, so you can zoom way out. On the two flagship models, which are the 11 Pro and the 11 Pro Max, there will be three lenses. So there'll be that standard lens, a super wide lens, and a telephoto lens. So a zoom lens.
Oh, do we need that?
That's cool.
I mean, it's really cool. And one of the things they showed off that I actually really liked, because I tend to interview people sometimes with video, is they had a setup where you could do a multicam. So it would record both sides at the same time. And so they had an iPhone set up between two actors talking to each other. And they said, this is going to be great for filmmakers because then you won't have to, that's your coverage. You basically just set it right between two people and they can fill it.
I'm just going to guess I'm never going to be able to pull that off.
That's a great feature.
Yeah.
Great feature, but for, you know, prosumer or even professional use, you know. So I'm sure there'll be some, there's always some filmmakers out there who use iPhone, you know, in the last few years to make short features, which is fantastic. They're actually really good. So, we may see even more of that coming out. But it's a lot of camera features.
That was funny.
That was a big thing.
Yeah, it was funny. They go, this and this is what you could do with the camera. And they show like a movie and with a jib and like all the streets were watered down. And like they had all these rented 1940s cars in the movie. I was like, No. None of my movies will look like that. It's going to be me.
This is what you
walking.
Can do with an iPhone if you have a Hollywood backlot.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
That would help. Yeah.
However, when you say telephoto lens, I just think, close your curtains.
Most likely,
it's not that much telephoto. You're not thinking of the. It's not quite the super giant lenses that we see at a soccer game.
I just say, open those curtains.
Close them is what I'm saying.
Cut to Kevin. He has a huge lens on his iPhone. Like a tremendously long one.
That'll be a Kickstarter attachment, I'm sure.
Speaking with our friend Ashley Escada, who talks to us about all things tech. I wanted to ask, because I never got the idea of the Apple Watch, but apparently it's still popular enough that they introduced a Series 5 yesterday. Anything new there that people may want to know about?
It is the most popular smartwatch by a country mile. It's got some more minor updates this time around, but one big one. So there's a lot of people did not enjoy the fact that you constantly have to lift your arm to have the screen turn on.
Right.
So it's raise to wake. And now they have an always-on function. So Apple Watch Series 5 will have an always-on function, so you don't have to lift your arm. So if you're working out, for example, or if you're doing something that you can't lift your arm to look at your watch, but you just want to check the time or you want to see the data that it's recording, you'll be able to do that now. And they're saying that they can now do that without losing any battery life, which was one of the reasons they did raise to wake in the first place, was because it just ate way too much battery life at the beginning to make it viable to use all day as a watch.
Just before we run out of time, because I want to get to Apple TV Plus, the new iPad, is it any different, worth getting, better, the same?
So the new iPad is actually just a light update to a least expensive older model. So if you're interested in that, it's got a lower price. It's $329, but there's some processor upgrade, a screen upgrade, but nothing totally crazy.
That's a great price. I had no idea it was that cheap.
Yeah, so that's their sort of like base full size iPad. So they're doing that. That's next week on the 20th, and then Apple TV Plus is their streaming service. So Netflix, Disney Plus. This is a competitor to that. It includes. There's only going to be a handful of shows at launch, which is on November 1st. It'll be $5 a month. But if you buy a new Apple device, they'll give you a year's subscription for free, which I think that they're kind of taking a very Apple-like conservative approach to their content and saying, hey, like, we know we don't have a lot. We're not competing with Netflix yet. It's going to take a long time for Apple to get to that point.
I think they're kind of making
it really cheap.
Let me ask Muggs, though. But when you bought your iPhone 10 last week, you also got the free year of Apple TV Plus, right?
Not so much.
All right. Find that receipt.
I will, Ashley.
Ashley, you are a delight, and we thank you, and we love you, and we miss you, and stay in touch, okay?
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
It's that very special time of year again. One of the coolest events of the year is the annual Above Ground Benefit Concert, hosted by our friends Dave Navarro and Billy Morrison. It's going to be Monday, September 16th at the Fonda Theater in Hollywood. For mental health awareness. The guys are in the studio with us right now on K-Rock. Hey, boys.
Yeah!
Thank you for having us.
Are you catching that?
Yes.
Are you
guys, I got the whole thing.
I was trying to tell you not to talk to it.
She was trying to explain.
No. Nope.
Well, speak into the microphone.
Nope. And not what I'm
way.
In her defense, if you turn it to the top and you speak into the top, it doesn't work so well.
Let's see. Yeah, that's not so
It doesn't
oh,
work yeah, so
it
well.
It sounds like you're talking
But why
into
would
a
I do that?
Because it was angled down to you, so you were moving it.
I wasn't speaking.
So Allie was like, talk into it. And Dave was like, oh, talk into the mic.
I'm going to talk over here. Now I get how these things work.
And by the way, Dave walked in and spilled coffee immediately.
I am a smartass. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Yeah, Dave walked in. It was almost like he threw his coffee on the ground.
Wait a minute. In my defense, there was a slight aftershock. I don't know if you guys felt that.
Okay. I didn't feel it.
It's going to come in across the wire in a minute.
Okay. And then I said, just lick the carpet. And without missing a beat, Dave goes, I've done that.
I think I said if I spilled a jar of crack, I'd be on the carpet.
You crack in jars?
In the old days. Well, technically it's a vial.
Okay.
If you must know.
Okay.
That's an old story. We don't need to go down
all right. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming in. It was really...
jar, a vial, whatever you want to do.
Sure.
A pill so box.
This is Dave
I'm
Navarro.
Talking into it. What are you talking about?
I am.
It's him at 8 a.m., yeah.
I am.
I woke up at 4, and I was just like this.
Really?
Immediately.
Yeah.
And then around noon, I
Billy, that must drive you crazy.
Well, yes and no, because I do get up early, but what happens is the crash. Round about noon, you ain't getting Dave till about 6 at night.
Oh, right? I see. Okay.
Yeah. So I wake up really happy, jump out of bed, I get a million things done, and by 11, I'm spent.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then...
How many of your friends have that same schedule?
Oh, I don't know.
None.
I hadn't taken a poll, but
well, I was wondering,
now's a good
like,
time. Anyone who has my schedule, give a call in now.
She said your friends.
Your friends. What I'm saying is, like, do you get to hang out with your friends when you're feeling your best?
Or you know, the truth is that I do Ink Master. Mm-hmm. I'm doing Above Ground with Billy, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a bunch of different things. And the fact of the matter is I just have to get sleep when I can get it.
Right.
So... Whenever I'm awake, I'm cranking, and whenever I'm sleeping, I'll tend to nap, you know, just to get caught up. Just
how
so
long's
I can
a
get
nap for you?
Hour.
Oh, one of those.
Power
just
nap.
I wish I could do it.
My dad used to drive me crazy. He would go into his room for 10 minutes and come out and say, "I feel great."
Yeah.
And then say, "No, you don't."
That's all you need.
That's what he would say.
The crazy thing for me with naps is I can lie down and do 10, you know, in 10 minutes, I'm out, flat on my back.
Oh, lucky.
But I can't sleep flat on my back for sleep. It's an odd
paradox.
So you
can for a nap, but you can't for sleep. Is it because it's a longer amount of time?
How do you sleep?
I'm a side sleeper.
Your side?
Oh, yeah. But that comes from chronic lumbar problems and having to have pillows.
This is the exact talk I thought we'd have with Dave Navarro. lumbar issues, sleep cycles.
Wait, bro,
absolutely.
Let me just suggest to you that you're having this talk when Dave Navarro is 53. You want to get me here at 30? It's a whole nother
different conversation.
So you're raising money for your medical bills. It sounds like on Monday, Dave. That's what we're at, right? Do something about this man's back.
If you want to know the truth, actually, we're raising money for mental health awareness for Music Cares. And actually, in all sincerity, Billy and I have both had our share of mental health issues, certainly, and I'm sure you guys have,
of course,
yeah,
have
very much
actually,
so.
I've been a guest on this show in the crisis, in the process of having a mental health crisis. So since we have been given, you know, the fortunate nature of carrying on our lives and having some tools to learn how to cope, we felt it was our duty to give back to other people in suffering, and that's what this show came about. Tell us about the show, Bill.
You know, I just felt when Chester went, this conversation happened, Dave and I, around Chester's funeral. We'd lost Chris, we'd lost Chester, we lost Scott a couple of years before, and Dave and I were just like, that man, this is getting like, it's always been there, but it's getting a little close, and we must be able to do something. And our friends at Music Cares, who are just awesome, they're like boots on the ground. You know, they will swoop in and take someone that same day.
And it's specifically for musicians.
Well, it started like that, but it's any industry people.
And now it's extended into the crew. It's extended into, you know, anybody. Because actually the crew are the people that, see, your microphone
is falling.
It ain't me.
It's a limp mic.
The Listen. Crew, thank God. Thank God.
I dated him in 88.
Limp Mike?
Yeah.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
It's a terrible nickname to be saddled with. So AmeriCares.
I'm sorry?
Music Cares.
Well, I was just saying that we put this organization, just for those of you just tuning in, what Billy and I are doing is an organization called Above Ground. And this year we are performing two albums in their entirety. The first Stooges album in its entirety.
Amazing.
There will be a break. Dr. Drew will come out, say a few words. Bob Forrest will come out about mental health. Then we'll have an art auction. We have street artists in the out front doing paintings, and those paintings will be auctioned. And then we will come back for a second set and do all of Ziggy Stardust in its entirety.
Jeez.
Wow. And let me tell you something. When we chose these albums, if we'd have thought about it longer than 45 seconds, like that, so one of us went, what about Ziggy? And the other one went, yes. And then 3 days later, when we've actually told people that's what we're doing, we realized the enormity creatively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a reason Ziggy Stardust isn't played in its entirety every year.
Yeah, it's a complicated
album.
There's
strings and
yeah.
horns. Yeah. But I got to promise you, if you come down to the Fonda on Monday night, you're going to see something pretty special. We are driving around to this, doing this press stuff going, how are we doing this?
I know. We're both looking at each other going, man, we're both, seriously, and I mean this with all gratitude. Yeah. We're both ex-junkie kids. He's from the streets of London. I'm actually from the streets of Burbank. You know, I lived in a trailer park and I was homeless. Mm-hmm. So it actually was. But but the fact of the matter is that we have been able to come up from those places and be in a position now to have done a lot of work and trial and error and tried things that didn't work and tried things that did work. And now to find some kind of peace and to realize that the only way to hang on to that peace is to give it back.
Awesome.
And that's beautiful.
And the fact of the matter is that, you know, I struggle from mental health issues all the time, you know, and it's, you know, I have my path in terms of care, self-care for that, and I'm certainly not a doctor and I would never suggest anything, but what I can suggest is that there are organizations that can help you professionally, and what I can tell you is that it is a great strength to reach out for hope.
Yes.
And help.
That right there, the message is so simple.
And don't keep it to yourself.
Well, yeah. that's the message. Talk about it. It's okay to ask for help. One of my things is, when I was growing up, if I'd have said to my parents I'm depressed, I would have got, well, join the army or get a hobby or buck up, you know, like you'll be fine.
Well, it's a British thing, the stiff upper lip.
And it kills people.
Yeah.
That attitude kills people. Yeah.
The best one is just go make some friends. And the fact is, the kid's already feeling isolated and alone. Like, how's he going to make friends? So that's even more isolating of a demand to put on the child. And that causes more trauma, more fear, more chaos.
And there's nothing stronger than asking for help.
Exactly.
That is such a strong move.
There's only one difference between the people that died and Dave and I is that we actually asked for help and were granted that help. So
sometimes over and over and over again until it takes what it takes.
Yep.
And it's part of your journey. But one thing I will say, and for anybody out there who's suffering from such a illness or is struggling, I would just be careful about who you reach out to for help. Because reaching out for help, you know, put it this way, I'm going to be perfectly candid about it. There are certain people in my life that are not emotionally equipped to hear what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't talk to those people. Yeah. It's a very simple thing. I find someone I trust, someone I can commiserate with, someone who I think has great advice, someone who can perhaps direct me to right counselor or right therapist. But if you go to someone who's going to come at you with judgment and tell you what you're doing wrong and that you have nothing to be depressed about and you should be grateful because look at all the people that are, you know, suffering in the world, that doesn't resonate, because the trauma that they're feeling is a physiological, physical trauma that embeds itself in the nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system, and it lives with us for years and years and years. And so joining a sports team isn't the answer. Making new friends isn't the answer. It's it requires a lot of deep care and work, and I'm here to tell you that it's worth the work.
Let me interrupt you, Dave, because this is a very important topic, and it's you and Billy are both speaking very powerfully and honestly on this, and I appreciate it. We have to take a very quick break, though. When we come back, we want to talk about the incredible lineup that you have for Monday night.
It's nuts.
It's not just the song selection you'll be hearing. Wait till you hear who's going to be playing and singing at this event at the Fonda. Tickets are on sale right now, by the way, at AXS.com. This is a can't-miss Monday night at the Fonda. Dave Navarro and Billy Morrison are our guests. Quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world-famous K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
QFM in Pasadena.
Los Angeles.
106.7, The Rock.
By request from David Navarro.
I love
it. We get a lot of requests for jingles here.
Well, that's dating back to my early days of K-Rock. Do you know when K-Rock started?
K-Rock started in 76.
Okay, yeah. So my memory was the early 80s K-Rock. Yeah. You know, rock of the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. And then it became the rock in the 90s. And here we are, well into the 21st century. Amazingly, still on the air.
I say we go retro, man.
I like it.
Dave, you should check out the rock of the 80s, the K-Rock HD2 channel, if you don't listen to that. It's incredible.
I was just hip to that. I'm going to check it out.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so
cool.
Good.
Cool.
Dave Navarro back in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always great to catch up with you and your friend Billy Morrison as well. Above Ground, the second annual, is happening this Monday night at the Fonda in Hollywood. Now, you mentioned you're doing the first Stooges album, which for folks who don't know, that's the classic album with 1969 and I want to be a Dog and all those songs, and then Bowie's Ziggy Stardust as well. But talk about some of the people that you have performing on stage with you that night, because it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to see this thing.
It's actually a once in a lifetime opportunity to play at this thing. Like me and Dave, every time someone went, yeah, sure, which by the way, everyone we asked. This disease, mental illness, obviously affects everyone or their family or their friends or their peers, because everyone we've asked, from the business people, like, you know, the rehearsals and the lights, down to every artist, have just gone, of course we will help. This list goes on and on, but personal highlight for me is Al Jourgensen from Ministry.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Actually coming down and performing with us.
It's going to be great.
Billy Idol, Perry Farrell, Gavin Rossdale, Juliette Lewis, Jack Black. Then you get the guitar players, Steve Vai, Billy Duffy, Steve Stevens, Dave Kushner, Wayne Kramer from the MC5.
Unbelievable.
I freak out a little bit.
I should add that we have Carmine Rojas, who is... Bowie's bass player.
Bowie, yeah.
And Mike Garson, who was an original Spider playing piano.
Wow. You know the movie The Hammersmith 1972, yeah. The last time I'm ever blah blah blah. Mike's in that.
Wow.
So last year, I mean, we're so fortunate because we put this thing together and it kind of evolves. And last year we did Adam and the Ants, Kings of the Wild Frontier, mm-hmm. top to back. And we eventually got Marco Peroni to fly in from England to play guitar with us in his own band. Like, he,
unbelievable.
You know what I mean? It's like a cover band of his band that he's in. Right. He's like, I called him up
in England and he went, you want me to do what? But to that guy's credit, he flew over and for the first time in 20 odd years, he played Adam and the Ants songs with me. And he had a blast.
And so this time we got, you know, some
you guys
actual.
You must feel like Make-A-Wish kids. In a rock camp.
Yeah, we're making our wishes.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what? It's funny you should say that. Now, if I could answer that real quick.
Yeah.
So Billy and I put this whole thing together because we want to do something for mental health awareness. And I've been suicidal before, and I've gone through my ups and downs. Everybody knows that. And Billy has been through his own demons too. So we put this thing together, and it really worked out to be like a really beautiful thing. But the work required in terms of reaching out to the artist, looking for people that's going to be able to donate, people like Law Rocks, looking for Golden Voice, looking for the support that we can get Music Cares to try and get a venue to put it together, to put it schedules. And it's really Billy and I and our manager kind of spearheading all this thing, which is a lot of
yeah.
work. Then you have the rehearsals and learning the songs and making sure every guest is happy and so forth. And then there's the content on stage and there's all kinds of things that Billy and I are overseeing. So in addition to doing this thing, we don't have a moment to think about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in the process of doing this is the gift of being free of self-consciousness. And it's all about the giving. And then the reward at the end of the thing, so we're so in it because it's not about money for us. It's not about making us famous. It's not about a record deal. It's not about an industry. It's just about giving back. So at the end of the thing, it's like the best show I ever played because nowhere in there was my neurosis.
It's the pure.
At the same time, there was a massive gift on the other side of it that we didn't expect that was so rewarding. That was more rewarding than any show I'd ever been with. And frankly, in addition to all that, I get to just hang out with my friends and play my favorite songs of all time with my favorite artists.
Yeah. That gift happened last year, the morning after, when Dave FaceTimed me. And finally, because it's all gone by then, all the stress of putting this on. And we're just looking at each other going, oh my God, what an amazing experience for everyone in the room, not us. All the musicians have a great time. Look, we're bringing in a video wall. You know, one of them things that, like, the Stones have?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're shoving a video wall in the Fonda that is bigger than the stage. I don't actually know how these people do it. But when I did the walkthrough, I'm like, I don't care. Make it happen. I want Rolling Stones size. And these guys, everyone, PRG, Center Stage, and they've all stepped up and just gone, okay, let's really do this.
What an event.
So in space, Brett.
You don't film this at all,
in
right?
In space.
Do you film it at all?
It's difficult. We will film it for our own... there's so many releases you'd have to get.
Yeah.
You can't...
Yeah, publishing.
But, you know, your little Instagram 15-second, oh, look what we did, you know, and just really to try and forward the donations after the event to keep...
I'm just thinking about the rest of us that aren't going to be lucky enough to be in the Fonda Theater on Monday.
I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because as odd as this may sound, there is a way to still participate and give to the cause. I know it's unfortunately you won't be able to attend, but tickets are available at axs.com. They're $59. It's a worth it.
Yeah.
And if you can't make it, but you want to support the charity and the cause, buy a ticket. 100%
of that ticket is going to go to Music Is. Wow. We don't take a dime.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Okay. No, it's a huge production to not take a dime.
It's costing us money.
tell our accountants that, because they're really like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. It's all right for me, man, because I've spent so much on others, so it's a small price to pay to get back.
That's twice you've sworn on the air now, Dave, if you're not keeping track.
I apologize. I do a podcast.
I know you do.
And I'm just so used to a format where nobody's listening.
Well, you still have that.
Well, you have that for you.
Yeah. You have that, but you can't curse. You just can't curse here. The only difference.
All right. So Dave Navarro, Billy Morrison, everybody from Billy Idol to Jack Black to Perry Farrell to Gavin Rosdale, Juliette Lewis, Steve Stevens, Wayne Kramer, Al Jorgensen. The list goes on and on and on. It's an unbelievable once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you to raise money for a wonderful cause. As Dave mentioned, tickets on sale now at axs.com. Billy, you're going to be able to play, just before we say goodbye, you're going to be able to play guitar on Monday with your broken arm there?
I broke it at exactly the right time because it's healing just at the right time. Yeah, I mean, I had to go through that tour we did with Bryan Adams. It was really painful. I mean, you can't... Everyone's like, you play guitar? I'm like, yeah, it's my job, you know?
Yeah, but you break a bone in your elbow, it seems difficult.
Doesn't matter. It is difficult, but it's healing nicely.
Listen,
if
Axel can pull up in a wheelchair, this guy's playing guitar.
So, yeah, the answer is we're both on form, and we're
fantastic.
Ready. And apologies for my misuse of the Queen's English there, sir.
Not a problem. You're welcome anytime. Both of you have a great time Monday night. We'll see you again.
Yeah, right? Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
I think we're going to have to remember September 11th in its reality, because somehow I think it pushes the human consciousness toward finding ways to avoid this in the future. But if you censor it too much, if you try to find too many euphemisms for what happened, then I think you rob people of the ability to actually relive it, and therefore motivate them to prevent it from happening in the future.
We're back at 8:30 on this Tuesday morning. It's the 11th day of September, the year 2001, and we've got a nice crowd on a beautiful early fall morning. Weather's pretty where you're waking up as well.
This is a special report. A major incident occurred here.
There has been a plane crash.
I just witnessed a plane hit directly in the middle of one of the World Trade Center towers.
The FBI is now investigating reports of a plane hijacking.
One side of the building practically all the way to the other.
People are standing in a stream of tears. People are panicking. They're calling their families.
We saw the flame hit the building.
More and more fire and smoke enveloping the very top of the building.
Right then and there, I knew that this was going to be the worst day of my life as a firefighter.
People are jumping out the windows.
That looks like a second plane.
Oh, there's another one. Another plane just hit. Right? Oh, my gosh.
That's on purpose. Somebody is doing this on purpose.
It's a horrific scene here.
There's debris flying through the air over the East River here in Brooklyn.
Today we've had a national tragedy. The number of casualties will be more than any of us can bear.
Oh my goodness. We're looking at a live picture from Washington, and there is smoke pouring out of the Pentagon.
110 stories, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord.
Air traffic is being grounded across the United States. 18 minutes later, oh my God. Oh my God. That was the second tower of the World Trade Center collapsing before our eyes.
United Airlines Flight 93, it crashed in Somerset County, Pennsylvania.
It was a sad day.
Our beautiful nation came of age.
Look at this and you just say to yourself, why? There's no justification for this happening, none.
The images of the replay that never stops of the planes hitting, the towers coming down. And it was like, okay, enough TV.
It did happen, right? It's not something that I'm going to close my eyes and open them again and I'm going to see the tower, right? It's not there.
It's terribly sad here in New York City. It's terribly sad because we've never been through this before. We're told that they were zealots fueled by religious fervor. And if you live to be 1,000 years old, will that make any sense to you? Will that make any goddamn sense?
Families are handing out flyers to the media, hoping for some news on their relatives.
My brother works in the 91st floor, and he's unaccounted for at this time.
They should have been here already. The rig is not back. They're not back. They should have been back.
God and angels up above, send us home, the one we love.
He said, don't panic. My mom is just, I'm going to be okay. Not to worry about it.
She was on the 93rd floor of the 2nd Trade Center. She called everyone to tell everybody that she was okay. And so we haven't heard anything since then. So we just have to find her. We know we will. Pictures on the
nightstand. Called all the hospital. TV's on in the den. Into the missing persons place. Your house is waiting. We haven't heard anything at all. Your house is waiting. We haven't heard anything at all. For you to
walk in. Everyone's desperate for information. For you to walk
in. But you're missing. He has to face the reality that he may not come back. You're missing. The head of our family is gone. When I shut out the lights, you're missing. I would go up through the morning, saw the plane coming. When I close my eyes, you're missing. I haven't heard from him since. When I see the sunrise, you're missing.
Our lives will never be the same.
This nation is peaceful, but fierce when stirred to anger. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done. I have a message for our military. Be ready. The hour is coming when America will act. And you will make us proud. This nation is freedom's home and freedom's defender. And we owe so much to the men and women who step forward to protect those freedoms.
Oh, beautiful. Brave men and women, indeed. Heroes prove. Operating there in what continues to be a very dangerous environment.
Liberating strife. We're blessed with extraordinary men and women who risk their lives each day so that each of us can live in peace and freedom. Do more than self. Our country love. They are clearly doing us proud in Afghanistan.
And
a mercy
more than life. An American flag flies outside the childhood home of John Joseph Edmonds in Cheyenne, Wyoming. America. A symbol of the patriotism his family still feels even after losing the 20-year-old Army specialist in the war against terrorism. Make God thy
gold refine. And for that, all America is grateful. America, he said, has sent the best of her young men around the world. Nobleness. Not to conquer, but to liberate. Not to terrorize, but to help. We're very thankful to you, the men and women who wear our uniform. We carry the torch passed to you by hundreds of policemen and firefighters who raised our country's flag over the wreckage.
not just for the peace of mind of our own citizens, but to free people in Afghanistan from one of the most wretched and despised and oppressive regimes anywhere in the world.
Thanks to you, many Afghan women are walking in public again and walking with dignity.
My mother wants me to go to school and become an educated person and get a job someday.
I wish to work, and I decided to work from 5 of morning until 10 of night, because I stayed at home 5 years. I want to make it equal.
We're happy. God is kind, says the old man, busy carving fools again. The true God, they say, the one they have always worshipped.
It's a beautiful day.
In Montana by the name of Shoto, and Montana's been in the middle of a drought for 3 years, and if you got no rain you can't grow anything, and if you can't grow anything you can't farm, and that's the way life is in this small town. 1600 people last night at the high school auditorium, they had a rally, and not just a rally for New York City, but a rally to raise money for New York City, and if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the spirit of the United States, I can't help you.
We see our national character and rescuers working past exhaustion in long lines of blood donors and thousands of citizens who have asked to work and serve in any way possible.
The more disaster to handle, every generation's gone through it.
Even though this is a horrific tragedy, this is New York's finest hour.
To me, it shows the greatness of America that people who would be perceived as common people can perform such uncommon acts of valor.
Even after the towers fell, literally hundreds of firemen went right back in.
Their loved one had let two elevators go because he was older. The people in the elevator were younger.
Every day, total strangers were showing up with supplies.
Somebody said that if you could still use towers.
People who faced death and in their last moments called home to say, be brave and I love you. Passengers who defied their murderers and prevented the murder of others on the ground. Rescuers, the ones whom death found, running up the stairs and into the fires to help others. A beloved priest died giving the last rites to a firefighter. The American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and the United Way.
Never know of all the heroes. The person who calmed someone and got them out of the building. The person who organized their floor so that everybody could evacuate.
Two office workers finding a disabled stranger carried her down 68 floors to safety. A group of men drove through the night from Dallas to Washington to bring skin grafts for burn victims. For those of us who lived through these events, the only marker we'll ever need is the tick of a clock at the 46th minute. The 8th hour of the 11th day. We remember where we were and how we felt. We remember the dead and what we owe them. We remember what we lost and what we found. Grief and tragedy and hatred are only for a time. Goodness, remembrance, and love have no end. No end. No end.
That is also available at krock.com.
Yeah, if you want to hear it again, you want to play it for people or share it with friends, it's up there. I'm sorry, Camille, that we made you ugly cry again this year, as you just tweeted in, but got to do it. Today's the day. Great job, Kevin.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
I can't believe I'm about to ask Allie this question. But is Liam Gallagher appearing at a Peaky Blinders festival this weekend?
He's obsessed.
What
is wrong with Peaky Blinders? What did you do? You opened the door. Boo! Boo! You asked Freddy Krueger to enter your dreams.
I just don't get it.
He loves Peaky Blinders. He wants a role on Peaky Blinders so bad. He has been like begging for a role on the show.
But he's so much of a fanboy that he's going to a convention.
They do a lot of things all over the place, Birmingham, everywhere, where they have huge festivals.
This radio person is the whole problem.
Listen, he asked.
Stop it.
I don't know why no one's ever told us about that show.
What else is happening, Allie? Blah, blah, blah.
It's 9:41. Time for what's happening.
There's a yet untitled pilot chronicling the professional and personal lives of the 1980s Lakers.
Is it Heimer?
Who, of course, built a dynasty, helped define the era both on and off the court. It's based on Jeff Perlman's book, Showtime. Magic, Kareem, Riley, and the 1980s Los Angeles Lakers Dynasty.
Good book, by the way.
Good book. Mm-hmm. Going to be a great show because it's being produced and directed by Adam McKay.
All right.
Already all right. in, right?
Yeah.
They had Michael Shannon in the role of Jerry Buss in the project. He was initially cast. He has exited due to creative differences. Somebody else has stepped in for HBO's drama about the 1980s Los Angeles Lakers as Jerry Buss. That Big man.
Who? Frankenstein.
Not Frankenstein.
Steez nuts.
Steez nuts indeed. Nope.
Roger Garman.
Oh, wow.
Nope.
Wow, jeez.
Kaiser Permanente.
Again, that's a hospital.
Hmm. Kevin.
Kevin? Nope. Not
Turd
Kevin.
Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson, great
Sancho
guess.
Sancho Panza.
Dick Poop. Dick Poop, not a person.
Uncle Fat.
Just a nickname for someone.
Is it Dick?
Again, a lot of Dick.
Mr. Shaquille O'Neal.
Didn't need that.
Shaquille O'Neal will not be playing Jerry Buss.
Lin-Manuel, what's his name?
Miranda. Mm-hmm. Not him either.
It is none other than Grammy Award winner Kenny G.
I wish it was. It is not.
Owl City?
Owl City is a band and we hate them.
His name's Furlock Bones.
No, it's not. That's not even, that's a take on Sherlock Holmes and it's not even
Carl.
His
real.
No one's heard from
how'd
that
you
guy
have that?
In a long time.
Oh, you're asking Bean how
what
he found
drop
something.
Is that of the Baker Boy saying Hot Carl?
That was Jensen's rap name.
By the way.
What?
Say again, sir?
This is David Booth, by the way.
Oh, whoa.
Okay,
oh,
right. No, it's not. Yeah. It is not
Qualls?
Him. Not DJ Qualls?
Bobo.
Mm-mm. Bobo plays.
Don't call me the hose.
No one calls you the hose, sir. We don't want you in this movie.
Becky with the good hair?
It's not Becky.
Or was it Green Lantern?
It was not Green Lantern.
High Tryon.
No.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
I wish it was.
Terry Bradshaw.
Not Terry. You guys just, you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Whichever Tilly isn't the one that gambles.
Right. Is that who
great,
it is?
Great.
Still good.
16th century Flemish geographer, Gerardus Mercator.
No, wow. But good poll,
wouldn't that be
sir?
Amazing if it was?
What if it was?
Yitzhak Rabin.
No, Jim, it's not.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joel McHale!
It's not Joel McHale.
Christopher Cross.
Nope. He's...
I hope it's me.
I hope it's you too, sir.
I think we give up.
Oh, no, you missed David Beckett Chastaham. Is
sorry.
It David Beckett Chastaham?
Not even a person.
It's Cat.
It's not Cat. Okay. No, this person will be playing the late team owner Jerry Buss in the movie.
Could also be lots of other people. It also could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay?
Technically.
It technically could, sir.
Could.
It's not, though, because we have seen him recently, and he is in shape. His name is John
Robert.
C. Riley.
Oh!
John C. Riley!
Good casting.
Which
wow. Good
right
casting.
There, I will
I like it.
See that immediately. So hurry up, Adam McKay.
I wow. Wanted Yitzhak Rabin, but I'm fine with John C. Riley.
John C. Riley is amazing. Do you remember the last time we had him on and I had read an article that he goes roller skating just to kind of de-stress?
Yep.
I've never in my life had that amount of joy thinking about another human being roller skating. But John C. Riley.
Yeah, he's the best.
Oh, he's so wonderful. Love him.
Good casting.
So hurry up, HBO. Hurry up, Adam McKay. I want to watch
I thought we
show.
Had some pretty good guesses, though. I thought
great
we were close.
Great guesses. Yeah. Great guesses. I feel like maybe we could rule out Kaiser Permanente, though. Seeing as
you never know.
It is a hospital.
It would be a beautiful name, though.
It really would. But can we rule out...
I'm the urinator.
No, we cannot rule
nope.
That out.
Actually,
always a possibility.
Yeah, and it's possible Kaiser Permanente might actually... be the actual mm-hmm. name at some point.
Yeah.
You guys, we talked the other day about how Danielle had lost her wallet
yes.
at Target, mm-hmm. and immediately someone began using the credit card.
Correct.
Which sucks, because mm-hmm.
Or it was pickpocketed. We don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't know. Something that never even crossed my mind as could happen. A Tokyo cashier with a photographic memory was busted when he used his natural ability to rip off credit card information from more than 1,000 customers.
Wow.
Sources with the Tokyo Metropolitan Police Department said the cashier memorized customers' credit card information just while ringing them up at the mall.
That's amazing.
Amazing, right? He allegedly then went on a spending spree back in March using the stolen credit card numbers from a staggering 1,300 customers.
You see these people from time to time on talk shows who can memorize a string of numbers, 1,000 numbers long.
Yes, right.
You know, and why couldn't you do that with credit cards if you had that kind of photographic memory?
But I'm just kind of sad for this guy after he went through all this trouble. He was charged, here's how much he stole money-wise, $270,000 Japanese yen, which is $2,600 in U.S. money.
That's all he got? How many credit cards?
It was from 1,300 customers.
1,300?
What was he doing, buying gum with each one?
Right? He's like, how much for the Q-tips?
So stupid.
Wow, he's terrible at that.
He
can remember
this.
Numbers, but he can't shop.
He probably figured small charges aren't going to pop up to anyone, so he'd get away with it. But
yeah. Cuckoo, right? I don't love it.
I still don't understand, and we've talked about this before, how casinos can ban people who have photographic memories.
Like counting cards?
Yeah, I still don't understand how that's something that's legal to do.
Well, aren't they cheating at the game technically? But I guess it's
cheating.
A skill.
Though they say that they're able to ban anyone they want before you go in. I mean, that's just part of the rules. But I mean, you're allowed to kind of keep track on how many face cards have been in play, but you're not allowed to exactly keep track. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying, right?
Yes, that is what they're saying.
Last time
they used six or seven decks, and so it makes it a lot harder. You can't really count that well.
Yeah, they were trying to figure out if I was counting cards, but I was playing blackjack.
Were you just yelling out loud? Seven, nine,
literally
four.
Counting like 17. Plus. So that could, it's an ace. It could be a one. Or a, okay, you do not want to play any counting game.
She wasn't literally counting the cards.
It's not pretty. Yeah. Don't go to Vegas with
227,940,000.
That's
well done.
The numbers to be memorized. Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf. Some birthdays for you. Harry Connick Jr., Taraji P. Henson, Moby, and Ludacris.
When I say Luda, y'all say Chris. Luda.
Chris. What?
What's happening?
Thanks, Allie. 5 p.m. commercial-free hour with Stryker and Klein is happening thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, Jensen is here with Get Up On This. He's going to introduce us to something we should know about. He's also going to review The Fanatic.
Yeah. I do the things for this show that really put me in harm's danger.
This is in harm's danger?
Harm's way also.
This is John Travolta's latest movie.
John Travolta produced and co-written by Fred Durst. And that's really all you need to know.
Can't wait. RJ Bell with his picks for week two of the NFL. And Dr. Drew joins us as well tomorrow morning.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.